Welcome to Wellness Your Way. I'm your host, Megan Lyons, and I've helped thousands of people find their own way to wellness. Wellness Your Way is an extension of that work, aimed to help you find your unique path to feeling your very best. Each week, we'll go through tactical strategies you can use to improve your health, happiness, and quality of life. So grab a mug of tea or lace up your walking shoes. We're about to dive in. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to episode 178 of Wellness Your Way. As always, I'm thrilled that you're here. I hope that you may have just enjoyed a spring break, which many of you in Texas or with kids in the Texas school systems have. And regardless of where you are, I hope you are just enjoying this time of year and celebrating your health, celebrating yourself, celebrating all the things that you're doing to continuously feel your best on a daily basis. I am here applauding you, and I hope you do the same for yourself. Today, we are talking about, honestly, one of the most common things that I see in the patients and clients who come into our practice, which is something that many people brush over as, oh, it's normal, or it's genetic, or there's nothing we can do about it. And that is not the case, which is a great thing to be able to say. That topic is acid reflux. Now, this is going to be a rebroadcast of a selection of content that I did several years ago on the 10 most common things or most direct, most effective things that can help us improve, manage, and even prevent acid reflux. It is absolutely the case that I have seen many, 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 many people in practice who have had acid reflux for decades, and that is now a thing of the past completely. So it is possible to prevent, manage, and reverse acid reflux in a vast majority of the cases. Now, I will fully admit that the tools in my toolkit that I use now in terms of supplements and protocols are far more advanced than they were at the beginning of my practice. And now for someone who comes into my practice with acid reflux that has literally tried everything that we're going to talk about today, I do have more robust levers that I can pull. But that is the exception. Almost always, we can start with the things that we'll discuss today. And these 10 levers you could do at home, you could do without me, you can do without anyone's help. These are things that are so effective. And if you haven't covered these, no supplement in the world is going to help you. So get excited for the content on acid reflux. If you or someone you know suffers or has suffered from acid reflux, then be sure to tune in and or send this their way. Before we get to the acid reflux content, though, we will dive into a bit about sarcopenia or muscle wasting. So let's go ahead and dive into that content. All right, my friends, it's time for health news you can use. And today we are talking about sarcopenia. Now, this is actually the culmination of several research studies that I recently looked up for a project that I was doing for my doctorate. And I am not going to, which I usually do report on just one study here, I'm not going to isolate every single direct or individual study, but rather I'm just going to tell you the punchline, the takeaway from all of the things that I looked into for sarcopenia so that you can do something about it. Now, what is sarcopenia in the first place? It's a loss of muscle and physical function that's very common in older adults. So we call it muscle wasting. We think it's an inevitable part of aging. However, when it gets too far, when it goes too far, and when muscle loss is too significant, it leads to a lot of very serious things, including inability to go through life, very significantly reduced quality of life because you need assistance to walk and or do other normal functions of life, and even linked to early mortality. So obviously something that we want to avoid. Of course, if someone with sarcopenia needs to undergo surgery or have a hospital stay, it is directly linked to longer hospital stays, poorer surgery outcomes, slower wound healing, all of that. So we really want to preserve our muscle as we age. There are some common risk factors, including history of smoking, diabetes, certain medications, and people who do have a higher body weight overall are more likely to experience muscle wasting. But the important ones that we can do something about right now are a low protein intake. That's directly linked to increased risk of sarcopenia, and being sedentary is linked to increased risk of sarcopenia. Also, a state of underlying inflammation, hormone imbalance, malnutrition, so not getting enough nourishment for your body. All of these things earlier in life are likely to lead to sarcopenia later on. And what might you notice if you had sarcopenia? You might notice just very normal things, walking up the stairs or unscrewing a jar or lifting a carry-on luggage onto the plane or something like that might just start getting very difficult. I'm not talking about, you know, lifting a 50-pound dumbbell. That's difficult for most people. But just the normal functions of your daily life starting to get more and more difficult. Grip strength as well is very linked to this. And so let's talk about a few things to focus on if you think this might be happening to you or you don't want it to happen in the future. Like I mentioned, protein is so important. So getting at least 100 grams of protein for a 150-ish pound person, or 137 grams or more for a 200-pound-ish person, that's recommended to reverse and prevent sarcopenia. So lots of protein, and ideally in doses of 25, 35 grams, maybe even slightly more at a time, so that we do get that muscle protein synthesis. So protein's very important. And then some of the micronutrients, vitamin D like dog, C like cat, B like boy, selenium and magnesium are also very important. And of course, exercise and strength training are very important. So that's just a high-level overview of sarcopenia and some of the recent research on sarcopenia and what we can do about it. If you are particularly concerned about this, part of the doctorate coursework that I did was a patient-facing handout. It's just a simple, very easy to understand three-page handout that I'm just happy to send you free of charge, just because I made it. Why not get it out there? So if you want to get your hands on this handout, just shoot me a DM on Instagram that says muscle loss, and I'll happily send over that handout with the references linked. Otherwise, the takeaways here are lots of protein, good amount of strength training, and get those micronutrients in. All right, that's health news you can use. Let's dive into the topic of the day, acid reflux. It's time for the veggies of the matter. And today we're talking all about acid reflux. Now, if you've never had reflux before, still keep listening because you might be able to help someone else out and you might be able to prevent it, because unfortunately, reflux becomes much more common as we age. So even if you haven't had it yet, you might have it in the future. If you have acid reflux constantly, you definitely want to listen to this. And if you have it every once in a while, you might just realize through the course of today's episode which things could be triggering that. So let's talk reflux. This is one of the most common symptoms my one-to-one clients report experiencing. And the data says that over 60 million American adults have reflux every month, and 25 million of those have it every day of this month, of any given month. Every single day, 25 million Americans, that's a lot. So reflux, having it once or twice, it's not dangerous. If you don't experience reflux regularly, but after a big heavy meal, once in a while you get it, that's not dangerous. But over time, it can lead to more serious issues. And it certainly can be annoying and can impede your sleep, can impede your enjoyment of food, et cetera. So I would love to help you get rid of that. Now, You know me, I like to support whatever makes you feel best. And if that is medication and you have carefully considered it with your practitioner and understood all of the potential repercussions, then that's great for you. However, the medications that are commonly prescribed for acid reflux have a host of negative side effects over the long term. So I prefer to help people try these strategies that I'll go over without medication. And if it works, then that's awesome. And to be honest, it works 99% of the time. But again, it's your choice. Whatever you need to do to feel your best is great. Now, reflux and solving it naturally is kind of like a puzzle. It's exciting to me because I love helping clients figure out which pieces of the puzzle make them feel best, but it's hard to just give one piece of advice. If only eggplant caused reflux or whatever, then this podcast episode would be really short. However, it's not like that. Just like almost anything in health, it is a bit of a puzzle. So I'm going to go over 10 tips that you can try and see which pieces of this apply to you and which pieces you can implement to see if they have a noticeable result in the way you feel. The first and most boring or underwhelming one, but the most important one, is to chew your food extremely well. This sounds so simple, but most of us virtually inhale our food and we're skipping a critical piece of digestion that begins in your mouth. We have both physical and chemical digestion in our mouth. Physical, obviously, your teeth are chewing, are mutilating your food, are breaking it down into smaller physical pieces, and chemical digestion via amylase in your saliva, this starts breaking down the carbs immediately. If you've ever done that saltine challenge that I did as a kid where you just put a saltine in your mouth and you have to keep it there for like 3 minutes and it gets super sweet. It disintegrates into virtually nothing, even if you don't chew it, because the amylase in your saliva is breaking that down, breaking down those simple carbohydrates. So we need to chew very well to start that digestion. If we don't do this, if we don't have the chemical and physical digestion going on in the mouth, then our stomach and our intestines need to work on overdrive. And that process of being super active and kind of palpitating to do that physical digestion, that can cause some of the reflux. So try to chew each bite 15 times. I know this, if you inhale your food right now, this seems like a lot, but just try for a few meals and see if your symptoms subside. The second tip here is to limit processed and red meats and dairy. I know this comes as a bummer to some people, but especially processed red meat like salami, bacon, bologna, this kind of stuff, it's difficult to break down. And it can make those symptoms of acid reflux worse. In people who already have reflux or their digestion is already off, this can be really hard to break down. So if you're going to have red meat, then definitely go for higher quality. I don't think that should impact you too much. But if you're going to have processed red meat, then consider taking a digestive enzyme with it to help break it down or to chew it extremely well. Dairy can also be inflammatory for many people, which can make symptoms worse if you have existing acid reflux. So experiment with limiting especially processed red meats and then potentially any red meats and potentially dairy and see if your symptoms get better. The next one would be to limit fried and processed foods and bread. Fried foods are higher in fat and they're generally using low quality oils, which makes them harder to break down and more likely to cause reflux. All kinds of processed foods use various ingredients, artificial sweeteners or preservatives or chemicals or those low-quality oils that can irritate your digestive system. And then bread often contains gluten, which is inflammatory for most people. And this, any kind of inflammation can worsen reflux symptoms. So we want to try to limit fried and processed food and bread and get more towards as many whole foods closer to the way they're grown as possible. Which leads me to the next tip, eat more vegetables. This is huge for acid reflux. I know you hear me talk about vegetables all the time, and I know that I relate them to
mitigating heart disease risk and changing body composition and feeling more full and keeping your blood sugar stable and preventing chronic disease and all of this stuff because they are magic. They really are. They are loaded with antioxidants. These are anti-inflammatory and these can alleviate the symptoms of reflux. Particularly, I mean, any vegetable is going to be great, but the ones I'm about to list are especially helpful. Leafy greens, pumpkin, believe it or not, cucumbers, artichokes, asparagus, and squash. All of those are particularly helpful for acid reflux, but any vegetables will do. Next tip will be to eat more gut-soothing foods, foods like bone broth and coconut oil, aloe vera. You can drink the aloe vera juice, or you can actually just get an aloe plant and eat the inside. Ginger tea is great. Fennel is actually great. Fennel is a vegetable that kind of tastes like a cross between licorice and celery, and that can be great for your gut. Apple cider vinegar can help. Although if you are in the middle of an acid reflux flare-up, I would stay away from apple cider vinegar, but taking it as a preventative agent, like using it every single day in the morning or something like that, can be helpful. All of those other ones, bone broth, coconut oil, aloe vera, ginger tea, fennel, those can be used even in the middle of a flare-up. Next one is to limit alcohol, carbonation, and caffeine. So I know we recently talked about the benefits of coffee, and that's fine if you don't have acid reflux. I hate to break your heart, but alcohol, coffee, any kind of carbonation, even carbonated water, these can be really acidic and can exacerbate reflux symptoms. So I would, until you can get your reflux under control, cut back on those. You can do things like Ticino or Dandy Blend as a replacement for coffee. You could do herbal teas. Those will be just great. You could try kombucha in a wine glass instead of your alcohol. You could try a mocktail like club soda with lime juice, something like that, but lay off on the coffee or caffeine in general, alcohol and carbonation. The next tip is the opposite of those, to hydrate really well. This makes your digestion better. Hydrating with tons of plain water will almost certainly alleviate your acid reflux symptoms. If you are dehydrated or underhydrated, reflux is much more common. So I recommend taking your body weight in pounds, divide that by 2, and then add more. Add about 16 for every hour of exercise you do daily. That's the number of ounces to drink of plain water per day, and I am confident your symptoms will reduce with that. Now, I know a lot of this is about reducing foods, which is not my favorite way to frame things, but some of these triggers are just truly better off when we reduce them. We are better off when we reduce them. So tip 8 is to reduce those potentially triggering foods. These are different for every single person, but the most common ones are chocolate. This breaks my heart. I'm so very grateful that I don't suffer from acid reflux, but if you do, just a little break from chocolate will do you well. Tomatoes, spicy foods, citrus, and peppermint, believe it or not. Peppermint sounds soothing, but all of these have been shown to cause acid reflux in some people. Some of my clients with reflux can do fine with these, at least in small doses, but I would, if you have acid reflux regularly, I would just cut these out each. You could go chocolate for 2 weeks, then tomatoes for 2 weeks, then spicy foods 2 weeks, citrus 2 weeks, and peppermint 2 weeks, and see if any of those alleviate your symptoms. And then also pay attention as you reintroduce, like if you eliminate chocolate for 2 weeks and then have a chocolate bar and it flares back up, that's a pretty good indication to you that that is not helping the issue. Next tip here is to consider supplementation. So this is very individual. And when I work with my one-to-one clients, I can advise them on specific supplements. But I just want to tell you in broad strokes that when we think of acid reflux, it's natural to think that this is an abundance of acid. We have too much acid in our digestive tract. That makes sense. But actually, the opposite is often the case. So if you are on an acid blocker medication, sometimes you're masking the symptoms, but you're not getting to the root of the cause or the root of the problem, and you might even be exacerbating the problem. The most frequent cause of acid reflux, aside from the dietary triggers that I've talked about, is actually a lack of hydrochloric acid in our digestive tract. So many practitioners, including myself, can walk you through how to take hydrochloric acid with your food in a very specific way. We want to build until we feel burning, which I know sounds really, really scary. This is why I'm not advising you to do it unless you're under the guidance of a practitioner. It's not dangerous, but it can be dangerous if you take too much. So talk to your practitioner about having a lack of hydrochloric acid. That can be something to investigate, something that you could do on your own. It may be based on what's going on with your symptoms, it may help or it may not. So it's hard for me to just give this advice to everyone. But L-glutamine is an amino acid that heals the digestive tract, and it's very low risk. There's no harm in taking it. It might not help if that's not what you need, but I would feel totally fine recommending that you try it and see if that helps. That's going to seal up the gut lining to solve any leaky gut or any other issue that could be contributing to this. So don't try hydrochloric acid on your own. Do try L-glutamine if you want and see if that helps. And then digestive enzymes, I mentioned a bit before. If you are going to have any of those hard to digest foods, I would take a digestive enzyme with it. This is like an extra boost to what your body is already making. And I will link to a digestive enzyme that I like in the show notes. And then finally, this one I left till the end, but it is arguably one of, if not the most important tips, is to manage stress. When we are stressed, our digestion is inhibited. It can make acid reflux symptoms much worse. So I will link to a post on how stress is impacting your health and how I personally manage my stress every single day with a morning routine. But honestly, the answer again is going to be different for everyone. And I could not encourage you more to manage your stress. If you have acid reflux, this is a huge, huge, huge contributor to it. And I urge you to do whatever it takes. We all know deep in our gut something that we could do. Maybe you need more connection. Maybe you need to work less. Maybe you need less coffee. Maybe you need more sleep. Maybe you need less exercise. Maybe you need more exercise. If you know in your gut what could help you manage your stress, I urge you to do it. So those are 10 tips to help you naturally manage acid reflux. I hope those help.
Well, hello there, friend. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Wellness Your Way as much as I enjoyed delivering it to you. I care so much about delivering the best quality information to you through this platform and all the work that I do. And if you're finding what you need right here from this podcast, then great. Share it with a friend because that really, really helps more people find Wellness Your Way, and then move on. But if you need a little more customization and direction on how to actually take the strategies you learn here and apply them realistically to your life, then I invite you to consider a Lion's Share one-to-one program. I've taken my over 10 years of experience. That's over 12,000 direct one-to-one hours with clients just like you. And I've refined my approach to get the best results for people and give you the information you actually need to build sustainable health solutions. I now have a team of amazing people, 4 fantastic women working for me directly, with 2 of them being nutritionists who help me serve you. And we are ready to serve you in 2024. You can snag a free initial consultation just to chat with me about your goals and see if you're the right fit for our programs. Just go to bit.ly/lions initial consultation, L-Y-O-N-S, initial consultation, all lowercase, no spaces, bit.ly/lions initial consultation. The link is also in the show notes for you to set up that free chat. I can't wait to talk with you soon and make 2024 your year to finally feel your realistic, sustainable, healthiest self.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Wellness Your Way with Megan Lyons. I always love connecting with listeners, so be sure to follow me on social media. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss brand new episodes each week. If you love Wellness Your Way, please leave us a rating and review. I appreciate it so much. Stay well, and I'll be back next week.
The Wellness Your Way podcast is provided for information only and should not be misconstrued as medical advice. Please consult with your physician or otherwise qualified practitioner on any matters regarding your health and well-being or on any opinions expressed within this podcast or the Lion Share website.